Hello, friends, and welcome to DBC Conversations. This is a podcast designed to help you go deeper and help you understand what it looks like to follow Jesus in our day. Each week, we'll discuss the messages taught at DBC and how we can grow together as the body of Christ. My name is AJ, and I'm here with our lead pastor,
Chad Zook,
and we're your hosts for this conversation. Well, good morning, friend.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Monday morning, we already had our coffee.
Yes.
So it was delicious.
Yep. A little bit of Brash coffee.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Out of the ATL.
Yes. Very good coffee.
A delicious treat to start our week.
Oh, there you go. That was a nice little rhyme there.
You like that?
Yeah. So we're still continuing our series on Sabbath. Mm-hmm. I think yesterday was a really, really awesome message that everyone needed to hear to answer a lot of questions from the first week, and hopefully our conversation last week helped clear up some things, but yesterday was a great addition. So I would like for us to just dig in real quick. Our Sabbath happens on Saturday.
Right.
And I would like for us to talk about maybe what it looked like 2 years ago versus even what it looked like this weekend.
Oh, that's a contrast.
Yeah.
Yeah, two years ago, oh man, my Saturday would have looked like getting up in the morning, maybe having a bigger breakfast than normal, and then 11 o'clock going outside doing chores, maybe not coming in until right when the sun went down,
sure.
Sometimes working after that, and then honestly just being exhausted, and then taking a shower, and then like...
It's time for dinner and maybe a TV show and then bed.
Then I'd wake up on Sunday morning exhausted.
Yeah.
And that was the normal for me 2 years ago.
Yeah.
What about for you?
It looked more like similar to that. Mm-hmm. You know, if there was yard work to be done, I don't have a huge yard, so it wouldn't take long, but it would consist of yard work or cleaning up. But a lot of the times, though, I feel like it's changed for us because if it wasn't yard work, it was us taking a road trip somewhere. Maybe we're going to go, you know, to Macon for the day or maybe Atlanta for the day.
Mm-hmm.
I think actually it was probably more spent on pleasure than it was work or catching up because my mindset was kind of like, well, if I want to go to Atlanta this weekend, then we'll clean up this week and that way we have the day.
Mm.
So that's really what it looked like then. And so what does it look like for you now?
Well, I'll just explain what my day looked like on Saturday. Saturday was awesome for me. I got up in the morning. I didn't set an alarm. So if I don't set an alarm, I usually am up by 8 o'clock anyway, so I don't really sleep in past that. So I woke up at about 8, refreshed, ready to go, got up, had just some time with the Lord, and time in the Word, time in prayer, did a little bit of reading, and literally I sat in the chair, didn't turn the TV on, didn't even turn music on or anything until probably 11. And then at about 11, got up, had a light breakfast, like a normal breakfast for me, and then turned on some, Iron City Worship through Spotify.
Sure.
And just had that going in the background. And it was just a good, relaxing day and doing some things, studying some things that really bring me life.
Sure.
But just kind of delighting in that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was what I did individually. It was a little different. Marla, she started out the morning with me.
Right.
Where we were together. G slept in. She had to catch up on some sleep, so she slept in way later than us. But Marla had actually a lunch with your bride.
Yeah.
So they went and they had their, Marla had her Sabbath in the morning with me, and then she also just continued the Sabbath when she was with Ashley, at least attempting to,
right.
at when they had their kind of scheduled lunch and just discipleship and just, you know, encouraging one another in that. So that's what it looked like, and then Marla had something else, and I just had a pretty relaxing day. Didn't go do anything other than later in the day I got out, and I went for just a gentle jog to a section of the woods near my house and just walked around the woods and just sat in creation for a while.
Nice. Man, I'm even a little envious of your Sabbath.
It was great.
That sounds a lot. It sounds actually a lot more successful than mine was. I mentioned last week that my wife, Ashley, works at an accounting firm, and right now we all know it's tax season, so everyone is scrambling getting their stuff done, but she's the one doing it. So she stays busy on most Saturdays now, which is not a real problem for me, but it just looks different because with Izzy, it looks a lot different than it even did, you know, 7 months ago, where mm-hmm. Saturdays for me then, I was able to wake up when I wanted, and it kind of moved how I wanted it to move, wake up, spend some time in prayer, scripture, maybe make a pour over, mm-hmm. put on a record or, you know, an album that I love. Mm-hmm. And we would just kind of rest that day. And so this week it actually looked a little different because she was at work. So I woke up, and luckily, because our baby is the best, she woke up at 9:45, which is
wow.
It's so awesome. So, you know, got her up, fed her. She was up for maybe an hour, and then she's back down to take a nap. And so it allowed me to read, which is what I really enjoy doing mm-hmm. on a lot of my Saturdays and just during Sabbath, reading a book that, again, brings me life.
Mm-hmm.
And so she slept for maybe an hour and a half. So it just allowed me to kind of rest. And I really tried to stay off my phone a lot because Ashley wasn't at home. We were texting some, but really no social media. I just kind of made that a rule for me. Mm-hmm. Even if she's not there and we can't Sabbath together, that there were still going to be some rules and some ways that I could just disconnect. And then she came home after she met with Marla. And after she got home, we decided, okay, this is kind of our 5 or 6 hours to really embrace Sabbath the best we can. But we made it work, and yeah, it's just kind of how life goes sometimes. So,
one of the things that I forgot to mention was 2 years ago, I was just in a cycle feeling like I just had to just do things all the time, feeling like I everything was forced. And part of it is I really felt like I had to spend Saturday up until I would have my own individual quiet time on Saturday mornings 2 years ago, and then I would sit and study my sermon until noon.
Yeah.
Every Saturday, or typically until we had breakfast.
I remember we would talk about that, you know,
and I never
up on Sundays.
Yeah. And I never felt like I got away from my work.
Yeah.
And so what I'm trying to do now, and just be very intentional, is not even look at my sermon on Saturday. If I study it well enough and I know what's going on, I study it on Friday so I can rest better on Saturday. So that's a contract too, because two years ago, I was 7 days a week thinking about church stuff, mm-hmm. preaching, whatever the case may be, really unaware of all of the pitfalls that come with not resting.
Sure.
And now I'm trying to make it different. And I love what Eugene Peterson, he talks about how a walk with Jesus is an unforced rhythm of grace.
Yeah.
And that is such a contrast to me, because I have lived my life, sadly, feeling like I'm forced. And it was all internal.
Sure.
But feeling like I was forced to go and produce and to do and do and do.
Right.
And now I'm learning what he calls the unforced rhythms of grace.
Yeah, I love that, because culture right now, I mean, like you said, you felt forced because mm-hmm. of work and just really not being able to let go. You mm-hmm. just needed to produce. And for me, maybe that was there a little bit, but really what I feel like was my forcing was kind of something along the lines of I'm missing out on something, just mm-hmm. kind of FOMO, which is definitely mm-hmm. it's real. You know, people, especially with social media, we get on and we say, well, this person's doing that this weekend, and this person went to this concert, and mm-hmm. they went to this beach, or, you know, whatever it is. And so we would spend the day in Macon or even drive to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And it's those things aren't inherently wrong, but the reasons you do those, it does show really like the heart behind it. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it was like, well, I need to go to this coffee shop. And it was more or less because it made me feel maybe important is the right word. Mm-hmm. If I could post this picture, then people could say, oh, well, he was here. And so, again, I'm learning that I don't actually need that to, like, I'm good the way I am. I don't need to be at these places. It's great if I can go there, but it just made me be a little bit more intentional when I do go there. And take those trips, why am I doing it? And so let me answer that question.
And I bet you enjoy it more.
Absolutely.
Now that you aren't like striving, or I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but it was almost like you're trying to curate something through your social media and taking a picture, and I'm here and I'm doing this. And then that's a forced rhythm.
Yes. Yeah.
And so an unforced rhythm of grace is, you know what, I can enjoy this mm-hmm. without posing something, or without pushing something, without mm-hmm. making it look like something that it's not, that you're right. just enjoying
it. And even for me now, when it comes to a book, mm-hmm. I just have a rule Because my thing is, like, when I get a new book, like, I want to post a new picture and let people mm-hmm. know, hey, I'm reading this book, or I'm going to read this book. And now I actually have this. This is just something that I do. I think it could be silly to some, but it makes sense for me. I won't actually post a picture of the book until I finish it.
Okay.
That way it lets me know and lets people know, oh, he actually read the book. Hmm. It's not just like, oh, it's a new book, so he wants to be seen with a new book. It's he finished it, hopefully got something from it. So that's just something small for me. But
interesting. Yeah. I see how that would be valuable, though, because it's one thing to say, oh, I bought this book and take a picture of the book.
Yeah.
And then you kind of put it down and you can, that's a trap. And then, oh, I got another book.
Yeah.
Instead, it's like, you know what? I've already read this book and it's really good. And,
yeah.
Oh, that's really cool. I don't do that. I take pictures of books when I get them, as I read them, something that's interesting.
Sure.
I probably annoy people with how many pictures I put, but that's neither here nor there. So I really got caught up with unpaid work. And I love that quote that I shared from Ruth Haley Barton that says, Sabbath is a way of arranging our life to honor the rhythm of things, work and rest, fruitfulness and dormancy, giving and receiving, being and doing, activism and surrender. And I think we need to really drill down on maybe just a little deeper into what is the unpaid work, because I believe that I'm not the only one who kind of gets caught in the trap. I've got chores, I only have so much time, and blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're exhausted. Your day off is not a Sabbath, it's just another day of doing unpaid work.
Sure, yeah.
So, assuming I'm not the only one.
I don't think you are. I think if you have a house or a car or a pet or a child,
right,
you are caught up in this.
Right. I'm glad you didn't mix up pet and child together. That's really good. So, yeah, so there were some questions that were introduced yesterday. You want to share those?
Sure. So, some of the questions that were asked, the first one is this, is your work, that's your paid or unpaid work, part of a list that gets checked off on part of completion? Another question is, does your activity make you feel worthwhile? Or does your activity make you want to feel noticed? Does your activity make you feel accomplished? And is this work just an attempt to avoid being by myself? Or are you trying to use this activity to hide from God? I think those questions resonate with everyone. They may not all resonate with you, but one of those I'm sure sticks out to you. It says something about the way you live your life, the way you view your work or activity. Mm-hmm. I love how you use both words, because a lot of the times we can call, well, that's not work, it's just, but it's activity. So with Sabbath, we rest from all work mm-hmm. and activity, unpaid or
and
paid.
Yeah.
And for me, when I think about these questions, you know, getting back to even what I was thinking about with just what I would share on social media. Does your work make you want to feel noticed? Does it make you feel worthwhile? That's really forces you to take a hard look in the mirror. Mm-hmm. You know, why are you doing what you're doing? And really what's going on beneath the surface when you're working?
Yeah, and that, I mean, we all have things at play. We all have the pride of life. We all have the lust of the eyes. We all have the lust of the flesh. All of these things would cause us to and spur us to seek either attention through our own progress or seek our own pleasure as the highest value point of our life and to just to drive us and to become our desire, and our motives can be so impure.
Right.
And so I love how Barton says these things, because she helps, I think, bring into focus to those questions that you just read. When we arrange our life around these things, realizing that there's a balance.
Sure.
There's the work for 6 days and a rest on the seventh day. Mm-hmm. And really what we have to lose if we get it wrong, if we just keep going with our unpaid work, if we don't really drill down on, you know, and the fact of if what we're doing is just part of checking off something after completion or making you feel worthwhile or making you feel noticed. Like every personality type has a leaning in a certain area or a certain direction, so
Absolutely.
To speak. But we all have the temptation for the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, and lust of the flesh.
Yeah.
And all of those ultimately will lead us to selfish ambition. Mm-hmm. If we just let it go on out and just
right.
selfish ambition, and this can get in the way of our Sabbath.
Yeah. And you said yesterday, I love this quote, Sabbath rest is about God who rescues.
Man.
That we need a rescue from the rescuer. When we think about Egypt and the Israelites, I mean, God rescued them from Pharaoh.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we find them continuing to go back, even after they were rescued, to go mm-hmm. back to the point where it's like God's saying, hey, I'm giving you rest. I've rescued you. And we as humans, like you said, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, all of that, we're geared. That's inside of us to go for those things. And so that's why we need to be rescued, where God's saying, look, I have a better life for you. I have a better way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just hard for us to embrace that because of selfish ambition or just faulty desires was something you mentioned yesterday. I just think that rescue quote is very, very good.
And they become the Pharaoh that drives us. Like if those things just become the taskmaster, just driving us and driving us and driving us, and it could be our selfish ambition that sure. becomes Pharaoh-like. And it was I love the fact that the Sabbath is, it's a rescue. It's God rescuing us from ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
He's rescuing us from the worldly system
right.
that's around us. It's just, he's rescuing us from oftentimes what we don't even see.
Yeah. Yeah. So God is the rescuer, and his rescue plan in this is for us to find rest.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm reminded of actually a couple of the questions that you just said a minute ago, and we have to really drill down on this. Is this activity just an attempt to avoid being by myself, or is this activity just an attempt to avoid being with God?
Hmm. Pete Scazzaro, I was listening to a sermon from him last week, and he mm-hmm. was speaking on Jacob, and he had this term for Jacob. He called him the grabber.
Mm-hmm.
How Jacob was constantly trying to make this life happen. And really in Jacob's story, we see God just saying, hey, I have this plan for you if you'll just trust me. And we mm-hmm. see Jacob push back and Jacob and God wrestle. But he said this in that sermon, and it really stuck out to me. It says this, give me anything to do, but don't ask me to sit still and do nothing.
Wow.
That's so true for many of us. Mm-hmm. I've had conversations with many people that say, I cannot sit still. I had a conversation with someone yesterday who was asking about serving, and I love the heart behind serving. I think it's great. But even as we were talking, and I've drilled down and I said, hey, this is something for you. This is a blind spot I think you should look at. You know, serving is great, but we can't just serve and serve and serve and never rest. There's something mm-hmm. important there too to drill down and really see what's going on there too.
And I think this could be a pitfall for most personality types.
Absolutely.
Of the same thing with what Scazzaro had said. Could you repeat that one more time?
Sure. It says, give me anything to do, but don't ask me to sit still and do nothing.
Yeah, I mean, so many personality types are wanting to do something, strive for something, whether they see the world broken and it's their job to fix it, or their job, they think it's their job to help someone else, or to make peace in a certain situation, or to lead out in something. Most personality types have a bit of activism
sure.
in them.
Yeah.
And Jacob is the grabber. I mean, that is such a clear picture of that.
Right.
Of just striving, striving, striving.
Mm-hmm.
And how did God get his attention?
We literally see a wrestling match, you know? I mean, and that's what God has to do to us sometimes, to get us. I mean, I think that you said it in the first week. I don't remember who said it. But essentially, if we don't slow down, we're going to get sick.
Mm-hmm.
Our bodies are going to shut down because there's only so much we can do as human beings.
I think it was Wayne
Muller. That's
yeah,
right.
From
that's
his
right.
book, Sabbath.
Yeah. And it just reminded me, we have to do this. This is not, it's not an option. Sabbath will happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
You can embrace it and live in it, or it will happen to you,
mm-hmm.
and it'll force you to stop.
Well, and you know, it is a matter of obedience, but it's a gift too.
Yeah.
So I think of Jonah, and I think of the obedience that he was supposed to follow through on. He was supposed to go to Nineveh, and he just checked out, and he's like, no, I'm going to do my own thing.
Right.
And it brought consequences.
Yeah.
And for you and I, you know, we may say, well, I can hold this line, I can do this work, I can produce, I can strive, whatever verb you want to put in there.
Sure.
And eventually, that bit of disobedience is going to catch up with us.
Yeah.
It too will bring consequences.
Right.
So I thought I would encourage everyone who knows their Enneagram number, or maybe even people who don't know their Enneagram number, I believe of these nine things, something is going to stand out to you. So I'd just like to read these. And just a way of, again, encouraging you to rest. If you're an Enneagram 1, rest with God, knowing that all is not perfect, but all is in God's hands, so you can release control. For those who would identify as an Enneagram 2, rest with God, believing that you can help someone tomorrow, but you are worthy of rest today. Or the 3, rest with God in knowing that you are loved by God and you don't have to have a stage to prove it. For the 4, rest with God, feeling that there's nothing wrong with being yourself, and God made you that way on purpose, and normal is good. And for the 5, rest with God, knowing that you can be around other people, they won't bite, and that you bring value with your intricate knowledge. And for the 6, rest with God, knowing that God is safe and that you can trust Him for all of your needs. Or for the fun-loving 7s, rest with God, believing that Sabbath is not a trap into a predictable routine, but it is a door into a space waiting to be explored. And for the 8, rest with God, knowing that Sabbath is not a time to take charge, but to be with the one who is in charge. And for the peacemaking 9, rest with God, believing that your voice matters because you matter. Share it with someone on your Sabbath day.
Those are so good. That just brings like a, it just makes me feel good. Like gives me just a chance to know that, oh, I can rest. I love that. It reminds me of, as we talked about force and unforced rhythms of grace. Mm-hmm. I'm reminded of Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, where it says, "Are you tired? Are you worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me and watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Man, that's powerful.
That is powerful.
Well, we hope that this week you will press into those words, that you'll learn the unforced rhythms of grace, and that you'll find time to rest this week.
Amen.